And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Amos, and that's in the Minor Prophets after Hosea and Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos, and then after that's Jonah and Obadiah. So if you find some of those, it's in between Hosea and Joel and Jonah and Obadiah. And we're in chapter 1. Amos chapter 1, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 15. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Father, even of those prophets that Jesus spoke of in Luke 13, here is one, Amos, your servant, who spoke forth your word, not his word, but your word. And often we have not heard this prophet. We are completely, most of us probably, are completely unfamiliar with this book. And so, Father, we pray that you would teach us your ways, teach us of your judgments, and cause us to repent of our sins, lest we in the church and in our nation continue in this way that leads to great judgment. Turn us from that way unto the way, that narrow way of everlasting life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amos chapter 1. Verse 1, these are God's words. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing and struck instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. And I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant of Ashdod and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Timon, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, and their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Those are God's words. Amos, we learn about him in the verse, in the first verse. Amos, verse 1, it was a herdsman, he's a shepherd, he's a farmer, and that of Tekoa, which is not too far from Bethlehem and Judah. Chapter 7 tells us more about Amos and who he was. It says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people, Israel." What had happened? What had happened was that Amaziah had tried to accuse Amos of trying there in chapter 7, of course we're not there yet, trying to earn a living at Bethel in Israel by prophesying, and told him to return back to Judah to earn his living there. But Amos responds and shows that he's not one of the school of the prophets. This is not his job. This is not his official lifelong work. He was not of the school of the prophets. He did not need to prophesy to earn his living because he owned enough. He owned enough to support himself. And that's the man who is called here out of God's pastures. A common man to proclaim the truth of God's word and judgments upon a rebellious people, and yet also who are still called by God's mercy. In Israel, the northern kingdom, still called the people of God, even though they have broken covenant with Him. That's the man. He was a farmer and one who kept sycamore trees. And yet the Lord gave him His word to proclaim, and he proclaimed it. Again, Amos is from Judah, that's the southern kingdom. And yet the Lord calls him to prophesy, to go to the northern kingdom of Israel and prophesy against them. We see when this was. It says it was in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And we remember when we think of that language, Uzziah, king of Judah, we think of Isaiah 6 and the year that King Uzziah died. Right? And so Amos, we know from that, prophesies before the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied against Judah, and Amos prophesying here against Israel, the northern kingdom. And of those prophesying against Israel, of the prophets, we think of Amos, but we see that also Amos does so before Jonah, who also preached to the northern kingdom, and Hosea, who also preached to the northern kingdom of Israel. The king, that was the southern kingdom, the king, that's Uzziah, the king of the southern kingdom. The king in the northern kingdom, verse 1, there you see is Jeroboam. Jeroboam the second. This was approximately 200 years after Solomon had reigned. Uzziah and Judah reigned from 783 to 742 BC. And Jeroboam, the king in Israel, the northern kingdom, reigned 786 to 746 BC. They reigned about pretty much the same time. And that's where we are. And sometime in that period of 40 years, Israel had in the past and continued, they had rebelled against the Lord. And the king there was, Jeroboam, was greedy. The culture was much like our own, pleasure, seeking after materialism, and any religion was formalistic and pagan, with a covering over it of the Lord, or the name of the Lord. Outside it looked okay, but really it was idol worship. That similar to our day in the church, man-made, self-justifying religion. It looks okay, sort of, on the outside, but inside it's just idolatry. It tells us also at the end of verse 1 that this was 2 years before the earthquake. We don't know when that earthquake took place. And yet that doesn't really help us today to understand a more exact dating of this prophecy. But something we do know about that earthquake, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5, it says, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." So again, we know it's during the time that King Uzziah reigned in Judah. And here comes the Lord in judgment. Verse 2. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." He comes roaring like a lion. The Lord, a lion, roaring from Zion. When our God roars, He is like a ferocious lion. And when He roars through His Word, His warnings, His threats are not empty. Remember, as we've heard many times, Exodus 19, when He spoke from Mount Sinai, He thundered, as we heard the thunder today, and felt it, some of us, while still in our homes, and it shook our homes. Here He's a ferocious lion, and He's uttering His voice. And that uttering of His voice should remind you of that thundering down from Mount Sinai. Here, it gives us that picture at the end of verse 2, talking about Carmel. Some of the most fertile land, the most fertile church, He's promising here will be utterly blasted and withered. Most fertile land, withered. There are times the Lord comes and He roars. We just heard Luke 13, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, wither." Or those 18 who upon the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, "Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye," that's all of you, "repent, you shall all likewise perish." The Lord comes and He roars. He warns. Acts 17, verse 31, "Because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." It's surely, just as surely as He raised up Jesus from the dead, He will judge the world in righteousness. And who is it that roars? The Lord, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the faithful God. And here is a covenant people who have broken covenant with Jehovah. And that means something. That means something. The Lord will roar from Zion. He's coming in judgment. That's what the prophets are all about. They are coming and they're saying, they're suing out. They're suing out the judgment. They're bringing the judgment forth and saying, "Here is God's judgment that is upon you. You will be judged unless you repent. And repent soon." God promising judgment against His covenant people, still His people, who have broken covenant with Him, who are covenant breakers. And the only thing that will, again, save them from this judgment, His judgment, is if they listen to the prophet, the Lord through the prophet, because it's thus saith the Lord. If they listen to the Lord who speaks as a lion who's roaring, you hear Him. Repent. Turn from your ways, lest you perish. This is the living God. The true God who made promises, who keeps His promises, and yet as He is your covenant God and you made covenant with Him and He made covenant with you and you've broken that covenant, That is a fearful thing. And some of our children have gone that way. Right? They've gone out from the home and they've rebelled against the Lord and they've hated Him. They've broken covenant with the Lord. And here's the Lord, He's saying, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. That's something you can take to your kids. Judgment is promised to the covenant breakers. And children, you ought not to be covenant breakers. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to turn to the Lord, lest you be found as one of these. But what a faithful God He is to those who keep His promises, who keep His covenant. He's a faithful God, and He loves you. But here He comes to the covenant breakers, roaring from Zion. Out of that place where He had revealed Himself to His people in the temple. And here, of course, Amos is going to the northern kingdom who had rebelled against that temple, that place where God had said, this is where My presence will be, Jerusalem, out of Zion. And they've gone and they've made their own temples, they've made their own altars, and they're sacrificing to Jehovah in a place that He has not commanded them. They've gone against His worship, and there's many churches like that. They've gone against God's worship and His commandments in worship. And beloved, our nation has been, not only so, it's not only the church, it's the nation as well, our nation, they've been under the judgments of the Lord. For at the first one, we rebelled against England. As our nation, England had rebelled itself and broken covenant with the Lord. They had that solemn league and covenant. They made covenant with the Lord. One of the few nations to ever do so after the times of Scripture. They made covenant with God. And we as a nation have come out from her as they have, England has broken that covenant. Scotland has broken that covenant. Ireland has broken that covenant. We have come out of England. And they had broken that covenant. And we as a daughter of England, coming out from her and corporately, we're still under that covenant. I know we've not gone through this before. We're still under the covenant, corporately. Again, we're going to learn more about this in the coming weeks in the morning after we get done with marriage. But we're still in covenant. We're still under that covenant as a nation. Because we came out from her. And in the forming of this nation, we had the opportunity to repent and renew that covenant ourselves. But as we've covered before, we chose our own way. And we continued on in that rebellion as covenant breakers as a nation. That covenant breaking of our ancestors and the nation that birthed us. Corporately, as a nation, we are guilty. We are, as a nation, covenant breakers. And we are going to cover that again in a few weeks. But suffice it to say that we are in a position not unlike Israel as a nation. Israel had been birthed out of Judah. They rebelled and they left Judah during the time of Rehoboam, right? And they were not out from under the covenant, were they? They're still part of God's people. And you go generations down the line, those generations still in covenant with God. In Israel, we're in the same position as they were. Because here is the Lord, and He comes to bring His judgments. He's roaring as a lion from Zion. And you know, beloved, Hebrews 10, it says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall He be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto Me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What does he say? Who did it say the Lord will judge? This is in Hebrews. Who did it say the Lord will judge? His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and that cannot be us. We, the covenant people, must come. We must turn from our sins before Him. You remember last year, early last year, were called the judgments that had come upon our nation and upon the church throughout the world, still upon us, and we're coming to warn us. And as we came to the Scriptures and we saw, this is a reason to repent. This is a calling to repent when judgments come. It's the same thing here in Amos. And so we heard that from God's Word. Repent! And you remember, as you remember, the goal of what we were and are still, in some sense, going through today was not to get back to normal. Right? The goal and all of that repentance and the judgments that came upon us, and how we were shut in our homes for a while, and then we had to wear masks for a long time, and thankfully, this last Friday, they changed that here in this county. But we had those things upon us. And you were warned. Your desire should not be just to get back to normal, but to repent. It's not just so that we can go out of our house again, which thankfully we can. And always could. And it's not that we have to wear masks anymore. And thankfully we don't have to. But it cannot be that we just get back to normal. We have to see what's happening and what God is doing according to His Word. And that is what is in our hearts. We just still, a year later, we want to get back to normal. No, we must get back to repenting. We must get back to repenting and reforming. The church must repent. The nation must repent. Or greater judgments are coming than what you've seen in the last year. And you ask the question, greater judgments? There's greater judgments than this? I don't know. This is a pretty big judgment. It has affected the entire world. And here is the Lord who roars from Zion, and He's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. This is nothing compared to the judgments that are coming. And this is nothing to you in judgments if you do not come and repent. If this nation does not come and repent of its covenant breaking, the church come and repent of its covenant breaking. And here again is the Lord roaring from Zion. Do you hear Him? Can you not hear this distinct roar? He speaks to you, beloved, today, you who are of the seed of Abraham by faith. He says, oh, ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. To 1,000 generations. It's not a couple generations down the line and the covenant's over with because you personally never made covenant with God. No, it's to 1,000 generations. It's to all generations. His judgments are in all the earth. In chapter 3 of Amos, verse 8, it's asked, the lion hath roared. Who will not fear? Jeremiah 25, you think of what he says. It's similar. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter His voice from His holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon His habitation. He shall give a shout as that they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the Lord, or all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard. For the Lord hath spoiled their pasture, and the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of their oppressor and because of his fierce anger. And here it says, the Lord will utter his voice from Jerusalem. It's saying the same thing, the end of verse 2, and the habitations of the shepherds, language of Jeremiah, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. The same water springs that sustained Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel through the drought of 3.5 years, 100 years earlier from this point, before this time, and the Lord will cause to wither that same place, to come to nothing, with no more springs, no more water, a judgment from the sovereign Lord. The shepherd shall mourn, no water for the sheep. God's vengeance is coming, and it is holy and just, and it will wreak havoc upon the world. One commentator at this point, he says, the whole world is under divine observation, subservient to divine assessment, and subdued without refuge before divine judgment. No refuge before His judgment. And now we come to the Lord's promised judgments, unless they repent. And in this chapter we see that Jehovah begins with the nations, the foreign nations. You see, he doesn't begin with Judah. He does not begin with Israel, but with the foreign nations for their evil, for their wickedness against Him. They are just a foretaste of what is coming to His covenant people. And each judgment pronounced begins with the same phrasing. You heard it in this chapter, verse 3. For three transgressions of, put in the foreign nation there, and for four. You see it in verse 6 as well, in verse 9, in verse 11, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 1 as well. We'll get to next Lord's Day, the last foreign nation. And it's interesting, one commentator said this is a whirlpool of judgment. And he made a diagram in his book, and it made complete sense. As we go through this list, if we were to get on a map and make a line from each place that he names, it would go in a circle as a whirlpool and go into the middle until it gets to Judah and Israel, the last. This is a whirlpool of judgment. It's all over the place, and yet very specific. But even the judgments here communicate to us something about the redemption of God's people. He's judging the nations here first. Because each of these judgments against His people concerns their failings and sins, and He will correct them at times with great severity. But against the foreign nations, He shows His purpose in vindicating His cause, vindicating His people, vindicating His kingdom in the foreign nations, in their consciousness. That the nations would know that Jehovah is God, and the only true God who lives forever, and He is the God of His covenant people. And when the Lord judges the nations for their sins against His people, He, in that, is exalting His truth and working unto the salvation of His people. One commentator again says this, it seems to be a theme for this book. He says, the promise of salvation overarches the inevitability of divine judgment. As the message of grace comes increasingly to the fore, rising to that glorious crescendo in the final chapter of this book, where the redemption of the people of God is promised in the most sublime language of revelation. And yet in this book, condemnation and redemption go hand in hand. Amos is a prophet of doom. And if you desire to be saved from the judgments of the Lord, he's saying here, repent now. So the judgments to the nations. The first nation is Syria or Assyria, here indicated by Damascus. Says verse 3, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Syria or Assyria, condemned for the atrocities against the people of Gilead. That's part of Israel, God's people. They had done great wickedness to God's covenant people. And when you attack God's people, the promise to all the world which hate upon and persecute the Lord's people, judgment is coming. Syria will be destroyed and they will be sent into exile. That's the promise. And verse 6, the second nation. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. I will cut off the inhabitant of Ashdod and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. So here he's talking about the Philistines. The Philistines are here condemned, as it mentions Gaza. Why? Because of slavery. They sold God's people to Edom. Similar sins we find in the history of our nation in taking part in the slave trade, which our nation still has not repented. Zephaniah 2 says, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Carathites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And so in other words, Philistia was to be extinguished as a nation for these sins against God's people. And verse 9, the next nation. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus or Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. This is the nation of Phoenicia, shown here by Tyrus or Tyre. They had broken their treaty, their contract, right? Their covenant. They had broken that treaty with Israel, also sold her people into slavery in Edom. They broke a treaty. And you ask yourself, has our nation broken a treaty? And in God's providence, we're breaking a treaty right now and not defending Israel, because we made a treaty with Israel that we would defend them and help them. And we're not doing that right now as they're being attacked. And whether that was wise or good to make a treaty with them doesn't matter. What matters here is they broke their treaty. And as they have, our nation, broken a treaty, and they've broken many treaties, just as we must not So nations are not to be covenant treaty breakers. Treaty breakers, contract breakers. Tyre broke the trust they had with Israel, and Ezekiel 26 and following promises Phoenicia's destruction as it does right here in verses 9 and 10. Verse 11, the next nation, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever, but I will send a fire upon Timon, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Judgment upon Edom. Edom, descending from Esau, has since that time in Genesis always had hostility towards God's people, and here racial prejudice because they're of Israel and they're who are attacking Israel are from Edom. And in his bitterness that consumed that nation against the people of God, even as the Lord promised they would. Obadiah, the prophet Obadiah, verse 10, it says there in that book, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now he's talking about Edom. Edom would be obliterated from the nations. And then the last nation in this chapter, verse 13, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. The nation of Ammon, which is the Ammonites, as we often hear about them. One commentator calls their sin against Israel genocidal imperialism. They ripped up pregnant women all to enlarge their border. They murdered women and their babies, and for this the nation would fall and be exiled. And what is our nation entering into, of course, is abortion, and it's one of the great. It is the greatest atrocities and the greatest cause of death in our nation by far. Condemnation to the wicked nations who attack the people of God. Judgment is coming. And judgment is already here. The judgments we see all throughout the nation, this nation and throughout the world, are just little foretastes of the great judgment to come, when Jesus will come judging finally and completely, when He comes to judge the living and the dead. And so these little judgments of our day are what? The Lord roaring from Zion, calling us to repent of our sins. Turn to Christ by faith, lest we be condemned forever. You remember what Jesus says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Then listen to the Lord who roars from Zion. He says this, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, that's the adulterous woman, he saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so the question for us here is, will you love the darkness? Will you love this world? Or will you come to the light by faith and follow Jesus, repenting of your sins, contemplating how we as a nation can repent, contemplating how we as a church need to repent, and pursue it? Whose side are you on? I fear for any who are on the side against God, for he is a lion who roars from Zion. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for your word, even the word that promises judgment to nations and to the church, for all covenant breakers. We pray that none here would be named among the list of covenant breakers. And if any here who have broken covenant, all of us have broken covenant. We've broken your commandments. We've not been faithful. Even the covenant we made, we heard this morning that Brandon took for the first time before us. Our Father, we have broken that covenant, but we trust in your grace. We trust in your mercy to turn us back to you. And so do that now. Grant to us that grace of repentance by your Spirit, to truly turn from our sin unto you. Grant to us a love for you and a hatred of our sin and a hatred of all things that you hate and a love for all things you love, that we would be found in Christ Jesus, thereby in the covenant of grace, no longer covenant breakers, but in Christ, of course, covenant keepers, and in Christ alone. May that be true of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.